Welcome back to another episode of Podcastonomics. This is Craig Hewitt from PodcastMotor.com. Today I'm pleased to have on the show Hal Elrod, author of The Miracle Morning. As you'll hear in the show today, for those of you who don't know, Hal really has a fantastic story of going from a pretty bad place in his life to really excelling and thriving in all aspects of his life. And he attributes a lot of it to what he calls the miracle morning. And it's a special routine and practice that he gets into that sets himself up really well to succeed every day. And this is something a lot of people probably see in their lives is when they get their day started right, things really trickle the right direction from there. And when the converse is true, the day just doesn't go as well as it could otherwise. But what Hal's really done is Hal has translated what he's learned from The Miracle Morning into a best-selling book that's in that has several editions now, as well as he's gotten into podcasting very heavily. Hal and I dig into what he's doing with his podcast, particularly around sponsorship. You know, like a lot of shows that we talk about, it's evolved a little bit from being a show without sponsors to just bringing on sponsors, and the internal struggle that Hal has along with that and what it means to his listenership, and trying not to compromise his value and his messaging when sponsors are introduced to a show. So without any further ado, Hal Elrod, thanks for coming on the show today.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Hey, so I love your stuff, and I know you're absolutely kind of a figurehead in media and podcasting and I guess what you would call like the self-improvement category. And I guess first, thank you for everything you're putting out there. It's really it's fantastic stuff and changed a lot of the ways people kind of live their lives, I think.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. It's weird to even hear that. I mean, I appreciate it and I receive it, but whenever people tell me how the book has changed their life, it's like I always kind of think back to when I was sitting on my couch writing it, and I'm like, my little old book that I wrote on my laptop that I wasn't sure if anybody would buy or read or like, I'm grateful that my work's making an impact. So thank you for sharing that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, you know, I think it's funny when you put stuff out there, you're never quite sure, or for me at least, you're never quite sure how it'll be received. You know, whether it's a blog post or a book or a podcast, I'm never quite sure how it'll be received. And sometimes it really surprises me. Like the thing I put out that I think is a little edgy or a little bit, you know, risky maybe, is usually the thing that's kind of received the best. And I would guess that's a little bit of what you're seeing with your book. I mean, it's not an absolutely novel concept, but it is a very different approach to kind of getting yourself started on the right track every day. And I hadn't seen anything like it, that's for sure, before.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happened when I was thinking about doing the book, is I thought, no one's ever all these gurus mention the importance of a morning ritual, but none of them have ever like said, this is not just kind of one of 10 things you should do. It's like number one, you know, and everything else falls around that. And so that's where I just, you know, I kind of, I'm grateful that there was room for me in this whole, you know, in this space, which is cluttered with, you know, it's hard to find something that's unique or new. So.
And sometimes just defining the same thing in a different way and packaging it nice and neat is all it takes too, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I had a, Robert Kiyosaki recently reached out and he had me on Rich Dad Radio. And then, I didn't know when he reached out, but apparently he had read The Miracle Morning 3 times. He told his audience that it's totally changed his life, and that he was on, I think, day 60. This was just a few weeks ago, so I'm still kind of, you know, reeling from this, excited from it. But he said the Savers, right? He said, he goes, the Savers, they're nothing new. They've been around forever. But he goes, until The Miracle Morning, I'd never, ever seen them packaged in one ritual where you did all of them. Most people do one or two of them that are really successful. You know, most successful people do, but never all of them. And he said, I do all of them every day now, you know, so.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
That is interesting. So, hey, tell you, what I kind of wanted to talk about today specifically was the podcast.
Cool. I love it. Yeah,
so, you know, the whole point of the show really is kind of how you got into podcasting, what podcasting is doing for you and your brand and your business. And yeah. A little bit of the business of podcasting is kind of the tagline of Podcastonomics. But can you kind of give me the background story, the genesis story of kind of how you got into podcasting and what it's done for you kind of with respect to the business and the book and everything?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't even really listen to podcasts when the idea of running a podcast came up. I had Nick Palkowski actually at that time just had an idea of, he saw podcasting as an uptrend and he thought, I want to help people facilitate their podcasts and produce them and edit them and, you know, get them out there. And this was about 2 years ago. So Nick called me and he said, you should do this podcast. And I said, I'm not, you know, for me, I didn't get the value of podcasting because I didn't listen to them myself. And what ended up happening was, this is how he kind of sold me on it. He said, Hal, you know, you've got 14,000 people on your email list at that time. And he said, how are you, you know, what are you doing to stay in contact with them and nurture them? And I just kind of, you know, got embarrassed. I said, oh man, that's... I email them a few times a year when I usually need something, and I, you know, and otherwise I don't send them anything. And he said, well, how about if, you know, you can talk, you can train, you can coach, that's easy for you. What if we just got on every, you know, once a week, we got on a call or got on Skype and you just talked for, you know, pick a topic, talk for 30 minutes or I can interview you. And then I'll do everything else. I'll write the email. I'll create the graphics. I'll put it on your website. I'll put it on iTunes. I'll put it on SoundCloud, and I'll send the email out to your list every week. They're going to hear from you and get value. You're not selling them anything. You're just sending them a podcast, and they get to hear your voice and build a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And that was, I mean, I don't know if I even hesitated. I said, oh my gosh, I got to do that. And it's all done for me. Yeah. Okay. Sure. And so that's how the podcast started. And then, to give you a quick kind of, a quick early evolution, we did it for like 6 months, and Nick, because I was his first client, he didn't know what he was doing, right? I mean, really didn't know. I was like his test dummy. And 6 months later, he goes, Hal, we should relaunch the podcast. We didn't take advantage of the new and noteworthy section or any of this stuff that I now understand how to do. Let's relaunch. So we relaunched the podcast. It's called Achieve Your Goals now. Achieve Your Goals. And we, with the first month, we had 5,000 downloads, which was kind of my own audience. Uh-huh. Month two, we had 7,000 downloads, which was, you know, maybe a little bit of word of mouth or mostly my audience. But here's where it got crazy, and this is leveraging the new and noteworthy. Month three, it grew from 7,000 downloads in month two to 27,000 downloads in month three.
Yeah.
And then it just grew, you know, grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. So that's kind of how I got into podcasting, and now I love it, and, you know, I don't see that I'll ever stop doing it.
So that's interesting. So Nick has a business that sort of outsources podcasting, editing and production, all that kind of stuff, but also the actual podcast itself, to where he just calls you, interviews you, you guys talk about something that he's knowledgeable about, your content and whatnot, and you guys just, and he produces everything, huh?
Yeah, and I think that his business, it's evolved. You know, there's a couple of levels. Like, if you want him on the, you know, on the podcast interviewing you, that, you know, there's a little, that costs a little more. If you just want to record it and then send him the audio, he'll do everything else. You know, so there's a few different levels of his business. But it's yourpodcastguru.com, and he's doing well. I think I've referred like probably 12 of my colleagues to him, and he's working with almost all of them. And, you know, I think they're all really happy. So yeah, it's turned into a nice little business, and he's now kind of, you know, in the last 2 years has become kind of an expert in that space.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I guess he and I are sort of competitors, I guess. I run a business called Podcast Motor, and we haven't done to this point, at least, the interviewing of people for you, or, you know, interviewing you as the guest to create content for your show. But we do all the back end stuff, the editing and production and posting and audio engineering, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's amazing how it's taken off, you know, gone from zero to like 15 customers and
wow,
working with some pretty big names already. I think it's just crazy how, like you with the book, when you find a need and meet it well, it's kind of a slam dunk. I mean, for business, it's one of the easier things I've done. It's kind of crazy.
That's fantastic. So it's Podcast Motor.
Yeah, podcastmotor.com. Yeah, and we have packages, and it's all kind of a monthly deal where, you know, say, hey, just upload the file to us, and we do everything else pretty much. And there's a couple different tiers of service. We haven't gotten into actually participating in the content, but I do think that's the next logical step, is busy guys like you don't want to go find guests or come up with things to talk about. And I think that's a smart thing that Nick is doing to make it one little bit easier for you.
Yeah. There you go. So that's, I'm on your site right now. I'm gonna check your stuff, because I'm always, you know, different price points, different everything. I'm happy to refer business to you guys.
Sure. We're working with some pretty big names. We just signed on James Altucher, which I guess is kind of in your world. Yeah. So we're doing his weekly show, and we'll start doing his daily show here soon, I think. And it's it's cool. It's been a lot of fun. He has some really amazing guests on that are, the thing I like about James' show is he has on really different people. you know, he has on like a drug dealer and talks about how you run your business as a drug dealer and stuff. And that's just really out of the box.
No, yeah, I love, I actually, James had me on his show a few weeks ago, and then I had James on my show, or vice versa. Okay. So I'm a huge Altuch, you know, he was one of those guys that when he reached out, I was like, you know, starstruck and kind of, I'm like, I'm a huge fan. Of course I'll come on your show, you know?
Yeah. That's funny. So, that's funny.
That's great though. No, I'm looking at your site. This is interesting. Yeah. If anybody listening, of course, if you haven't been there, go to podcastmotor.com. This is a cool service.
Yeah. It's cool. It fits a good need, I think. But, so, hey, let me ask you, we just had a client that we launched up into New and Noteworthy in the same kind of hockey stick, you know, went from a pretty good number of listens because they had a big list and then and they emailed their list, got into New and Noteworthy, and yeah, their downloads like tripled. What's life like after New and Noteworthy? So you get up there, you stay for a few weeks. How does it progress from there? And what's kind of the podcast strategy that you've implemented, you know, since then?
Yeah. So for me, the podcast, you know, we hit New and Noteworthy. It went month three, we hit 27,000 downloads. Month four, we hit 43,000 downloads, I think. So it was really big, you know, continue to grow. And then we dropped off a tiny bit into the 35,000. And then we ended up at the end of the year, I think in December. So we started in January, and then by December we were at 60,000 downloads a month. So it kind of continued to grow. That's obviously having a good, you know, having a good podcast is really it. You know, I mean, that's really it. I don't do a good job getting my guests, because I bring guests on it, but I don't get them to do a good job promoting the show, you know, I mean, not as good as I should. So it's not, I haven't really leveraged other people's lists or their community to grow the podcast audience. It's just been kind of leveraging, you know, the kickoff in the beginning and then just putting out good content. So, and then I will tell you, now in terms of some of the components of what it's like, the one thing that I have not done is bring on sponsors. And I've been, you know, I've had a lot of people tell me, you know, Hal, you're well at the level where you could bring on, you know, sponsors. I think we average like 9,800 downloads per episode. And but for me, I've just got this weird thing about, it's so weird because my background's in sales, but I've got this weird thing about like making my people feel like I'm trying to sell them something. I just want to add value. Like that's the purpose of the podcast, you know? So that's been the focus, but indirectly it has earned me a lot of income because like I just signed a coaching client on, you know, it's a $12,000 a year coaching client from the Netherlands, and he found me through my podcast. Yeah. A lot of people that read the Miracle Morning, you know, my book, which is really my life's work now, everything I do, is to share the Miracle Morning with people. A large majority of those folks that read the Miracle Morning find it through finding me through the podcast, then speaking engagements, you know, all that. So all of my other businesses, right? If you just simply mention what else you do, and then you're adding value to their life, and your podcast listeners, they trust you and they like you, and they're getting value from you. You know that you can transition that whether directly through getting sponsorship or indirectly through through the other things that you do in promoting those during your podcast.
And I think you're making a genius move there because, like you said, there's two ways of monetizing a podcast. One is directly through ads. The second, and I think for you in particular, it's a lot smarter, is indirectly through any sort of content. And it's your book and your coaching and other products you'll probably put out in the future. But for you to have ads in your show would probably take away from the value of your show in your viewers' eyes and then relate to lower returns, if you will, in your indirect sort of monetization of the show, which is through the products that you put out and the brand you're building.
Yeah, and I will tell you, I had Pat Flynn on my show, and he was talking about, I think I asked him like his greatest fear that he had overcome or something, and he said, my fear was monetizing my podcast, you know, and da da da. And I go, Pat, can you give me some live coaching right now on the show?
Because
I said, that's an issue for me. And you know, and he talked about, you know, my you know, he said my listener, no, you know, I don't think I lost any listeners, and I explained to him why I was moving into monetization and or sponsorship and that I was only gonna share products that I had personally used and added value. And I got a ton of feedback from my audience. Said, Hal, come on, you add so much value. Take on sponsors, you know. That was a few months ago. And so I just yesterday had a conversation with my first sponsor. These folks, they sent me their product. I tried it. It's a nootropic, you know, kind of mind focused supplement. Uh-huh. And I said, I'll try it and, you know, let me see if it works. And it worked really well. And so I'm gonna foray into one sponsor. Try that out for a few months and kind of see how, you know, how I feel and how my audience responds.
And so I follow Pat you know, he probably is the first podcast I ever listened to 3 or 4 years ago, and I know he had a, it was a big decision for him, and he puts his spots very strategically in his show. What is your approach going to be to putting your first ad in your show?
So my it's a good question that I have barely asked myself, okay. But my thought is, you know, for me, I'm all about authenticity. Like I'm just going to talk, you know, kind of from the hip and not try to give a perfect pitch or whatever. So what I'm planning on doing is just saying, hey, you know, up to this point, I have not taken on sponsors, but recently these folks sent me their product, and I said I would try it, and if I liked it and I believed in it and felt good recommending it, I would do that. And I said I tried it, and it's been amazing, and, you know, so here's the product. So, I mean, that's literally probably going to be my approach. You know, I'll mention it during the podcast, and I'll say, so, you know, check it out. You get a free trial at this site, and it's a free trial, nothing to lose. You know, why wouldn't you see if it works for you?
Sure. I like that. I mean, it's an endorsement at that point instead of an advertisement of something that you might not actually use or believe in.
I don't think I would ever take on a sponsorship for something that I didn't fully believe in, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's tough in podcasting. I mean, the way I see it, at least, you know, running a business in the podcasting space, advertising is a big part of it. I mean, editing and production and helping people create content is part of it. But advertising, at least in the direct sense, is kind of the money right now, at least. But what we see, at least, is that a lot of non-related businesses are only involved in podcasting right now. So, like Audible makes sense, right? But Audible is kind of accessible to everybody. But then it's like into accounting software and things like that that might not be related, especially to like your show. It doesn't really make sense. So I think that's one of the pitfalls of advertising at this point, at least, is that you might not have a bunch of selection of things that really would fit you and your message and your audience. This opportunity you found it sounds like a great one, but I think that's the restriction for a lot of people, is that there's not this giant pool of advertisers out there that really fits what they're talking about in their whole brand.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, for along those lines, for me, and I've thought about this before, but it just hasn't been a priority. I've thought about reaching out to companies whose products I love, right? Mm-hmm. And that fit my audience. So, for example, I use a product called 5-Minute Journal, and I use the app on my phone. It's also, you can, you know, get the hardcover journal, and I've become friends with the owners, but I've thought about saying, you know, hey, what about a sponsorship where I mention it every episode? Because I talk about it all the time just because I believe in it, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't talk about it on every episode, meaning all the time, like when I'm talking about the Miracle Morning on a podcast and I'm going through what the Miracle Morning is and I talk about the journaling component and I go, yeah, I use this journal, 5-Minute Journal. So I mention it a lot. But anyway, so the point is I've thought about reaching out to them and saying, hey, do you want to do some sort of sponsorship deal where I mention it on every episode? It would be natural. So I think that could work. And I might even, maybe once I get my first sponsor and kind of get my feet wet and kind of go, you know what, this is, you know, it's 20 seconds of me mentioning something I already use and believe in. Why don't I just do that 5 times or, you know, something like that? So I don't know. I might get to the point where I once I've felt what a sponsorship feels like, you know, that I might start reaching out to companies that I really believe in and just, you know, making the offer and seeing if they're interested.
That's a great, I mean, I think that's a great way to fit the fear you have, which is I'm going to some, you know, erode the value and the trust that I have with my audience. If you're really embracing and endorsing the things you firmly believe in, I don't think you have to worry about that as much. That's very smart.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Nice. So, hey, what's kind of next? So the Miracle Morning's been out for a few years, handful of years at this point. What's the next move with that? Is there a part two or a sequel to it, or?
Yes and yes. So the original book, I kind of, combination of luck and strategy and, you know, divine intervention, I just, the book was written in a way where it's impacting people, so, you know, just in ways I never even imagined. And basically it's very clear to me that there's nothing I've ever done, nothing I've ever produced or created or shared with the world that's ever had this kind of impact. So it's kind of like my mission in life is to change millions of lives with the Miracle Morning book, you know, and if that, and I basically am committed until, right? So it's like, if that takes me, you know, 3 more years or 10 more years or whatever, I'm just going to keep sharing it because I feel this sense of responsibility to be seeing what it's done for the people that have read it. And, you know, and then it's my job to find more people that don't even know about it, you know? So, So with that said, that's the main focus is everything I do, I try to align with the Miracle Morning book and sharing it. The Miracle Morning, it is a book series now. So the Miracle Morning for Real Estate Agents came out in December. Kind of an odd, you know, foray into real estate. That's I have no profession or no experience there. It just so happened early on when the Miracle Morning came out, a top real estate agent, someone that networks with realtors, he bought 100 copies and sent them to the top 100 team leaders in America.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, couldn't have asked for it. And I didn't even know he was doing that. I just knew he bought 100 copies to support my launch, right? But because these were such influential people, it just spread, you know, to tens of thousands of real estate agents really quickly. So I partnered with a couple of the top trainers, real estate trainers in the country, and we did that book. And then the Miracle Morning for Salespeople actually comes out this month in a couple weeks, in July 2015. The Miracle Morning for Salespeople, and that's my, you know, my background is I'm a Hall of Fame salesperson, so that was always kind of one of the early ones I wanted to do. The Miracle Morning for Teens is what I'm really most passionate about, and so that will probably be the next book that we start on. But I do have a Miracle Morning updated and expanded edition that's in the works, really modeling what Tim Ferriss did with 4-Hour Workweek, where the original came out, it got great feedback and, you know, people loved it. And then he added 30% more content to expand on what he had learned since the original book came out and feature case studies and stories, examples. And so there's been so much that's happened in the last 2.5 years since the book came out initially that's kind of my, you know, I know there's this opportunity to create like the next level Miracle Morning 2.0 book, if you will. So that'll eventually come out.
Yeah. You know, I think it's interesting looking at authors, and I actually heard Tim talk about this on his podcast this past week. If he was going to write the 4-Hour Workweek again, what would he do? And he kind of says it's been a lot longer, I guess, for him. It's been like 10 years maybe. But he says, like, I'm not in the same point in my life now to where the things I did and had to do back then I probably wouldn't do again. I would think it might be the reverse for you now, to where you've seen so much success and coached so many people and had so much impact in a positive way that you can pull a lot of that back into your 2.0 book to where you're just a better version of that as opposed to kind of what he's talking about. So that'll be interesting to read.
Yeah, no, that is an interesting way of looking at it and even comparing with what Tim said. But I recently was asked by somebody, because when I created the Miracle Morning, I created it out of desperation. I was at like rock bottom. I had, you know, I had a successful business, bought a brand new house, and then the economy failed in 2008 and I lost everything, you know? And it was, so I created this for myself. It was never going to be a book, but it turned my life around so fast. I felt like I have a responsibility to share this with other people. And again, 4 years of fear and insecurity going, who's going to read this book? Now, who am I to write the book? I finally wrote it. And but I was recently asked on an interview, they said, Hal, you created the Miracle Morning to get you out of like a rock bottom. What, you know, now you're not there anymore. Why do you still do it? What do you get out of it now that you compared to then? And I really had to think for a second. And because I still do it, I've done it every day for, you know, almost every day for 5, 6, 7 years, I guess now. And I said, you know what? The one thing we all share in common is the next level. Right? We're always, for the rest of our lives, we'll be trying to reach the next level of health and fitness and happiness and success and finances. And I said, the Miracle Morning is the most effective practice that I've ever discovered or attempted that will take you to the next level, even if you're already as successful, you know, more successful than anyone else that you know. And I think that goes to, you know, you and I were talking before, or I guess we were talking about it, but the Robert Kiyosaki thing. You know, Robert Kiyosaki, multimillionaire, and he says the Miracle Morning totally took him to another level. And I'm going, if it'll work for Robert Kiyosaki, right? Like, I don't know what level of success you could reach where you're like, nah, this doesn't apply to me anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So I mean, it is like you said, it's kind of the opposite of what Tim said. Where no, this is it's a lifetime. I still don't think I'm good at meditating. You know, I mean, it's part of the practice, but I've done it for 5 years, but I'm still mediocre at it. You know, I heard somebody recently say, I forgot who it was, but they were a meditation like expert, somebody famous who I know you would know the name if I said it. I can't remember, but they said something, I might be misquoting the duration. I think they said, you know, I didn't get good at meditation till about 20 years of practicing it. And they said, and right around 30 years is when I felt like I had almost a mastery of it. And it's like, geez, you know, so there's, I mean, it's a lifetime to master kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that things like the Miracle Morning and meditation being part of that and just self-improvement in general is a practice. It's not a unit step to where you're there. And like there's always room for improvement for all of us. I mean, even people that work at and operate at a very high level, like you or Tim or Robert Kiyosaki, I think that's something to keep in mind for everybody, I guess. It's like if you're at rock bottom, there's a lot of potential. And if you're still kind of on top, there's probably a lot of potential too.
Yeah. Well, and even if you're like one of my, I'm sure you know Pat Flynn, right?
Sure.
Smart Passive Income. So Pat, it was like someone I've admired from afar for a long time, you know? I love not just how successful he is, but just the way he just who he is, just the integrity and the character, and then the way he lives his life. Like, he really puts family first. Like, we all claim that, you know, family's first, you know, but he literally, his schedule is all around his family, and like work comes second. And so I always admired that. And I was on his podcast, and he started by saying, like, he basically, no, I'm sure it wasn't intentional, but he really rattled me at the beginning. He said, "Hal, you know, just kind of give you an idea." And I don't actually know if this was on the recording. It might have been before the recording. But he said, "You sent me your book 6 months ago. I still haven't read it." He said, in fact, and it went on a shelf of books I planned to never read. And so this is how it starts. And I'm kind of like, okay. And he goes, "I'm not a morning person. And I've never been a morning person." He goes, "But it works for me." He said, "I don't have an alarm clock. I wake up when my kids come and jump on me, say, 'Daddy, Daddy, wake up.'" He said, "And I love that." So already I'm thinking, how am I going to convince this guy that my way is better than having his kids jump on him? I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, I spend all day with my family. He goes, "I work till like 2 a.m, you know. And this guy, he's a 7-figure earner. He runs marathons." I'm like, what could I possibly offer him, you know?
Yeah.
And I just went through my normal, you know, kind of like talking about the book. And by the end of the interview, he goes, "Hal, I've never thought of the morning that way. I think that, you know, maybe I'm missing out on actually a level of productivity that I don't even realize exists for me. I'll give you my word and my listeners, I'll try it for a month." And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." You know, and I mean, honestly, I think that my inner voice of doubt was like, he's not going to stick with this.
Bullshit.
You know, he's
going
to be like, right? Like, I did it because I told him I would do it, but I had my life was perfect before, and I'm going back to that, you know? And it was probably maybe a month later, more or less, I got a Google alert, and it was a blog post from Pat, the 4 books that changed my life this year.
Wow.
And Miracle Morning was one of them. And he said, and he went on and on about how his productivity has more than doubled since the Miracle Morning, you know, I mean, he just kept going. I was like, wow, even if, you know, whether you're Robert Kiyosaki or whether you're like I was when I made it up and it was like I was at like the worst point in my life, financial ruin, you know, overweight, out of shape, like that old story, but real, you know, I mean, it was really my life and it got me out of that, you know. So it's like it's such a universal thing. And I think for most of the people that do the Miracle Morning were not morning people when they read it. You know what I mean? Like they started like Pat, "I'm not a morning person, but, you know, somebody recommended the book or whatever. I'll check it out," you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, Pat Flynn, I see him on Facebook, 5 a.m. runs, # Miracle Morning. And I'm just like a giddy schoolgirl. Like, I can't believe
this.
Shut
up, right?
Yeah. I'm like, I can't believe this is happening, you know? So, yeah. And now Pat and I become like friends and, you know, it's so, yeah. So
that's awesome. I mean, that's really inspiring to think that you or anyone can change the lives of really elite people. That's killer.
Yeah, it's a different level, right? You know, because in the beginning, you know, you get feedback from people that were like, "Man, I was really struggling, and this really helped me," and that's like very gratifying and fulfilling, right?
Yep.
But it is just that different feeling of like, you know, I was already the most successful I'd ever been in my whole life, and then there was this another level, you know. Yes, so, I mean, it's a different feeling of kind of, I don't even know, you know, it's gratifying accomplishment, you know, kind of. Yeah. So
nice. Well, Hal, let's wrap it up here. I wanted to see if we could get one little tidbit from you specific to podcasting and podcasters of, you know, things you've learned, things you wish you'd do different again, things like that, to the audience out there about podcasting.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, everybody has their own style. But for me, what I found that works is I alternate between having interview guests and then running the podcast myself. So I will just take what's working in my life, or I'll take the book I'm reading, or I'll take content from something else, you know, and I'll put together a few bullet points and I'll talk for a half an hour about it. And I'll, you know, share a story from my own life or whatever. Whenever I go to an event, a lot of times I'll come out of the event and I'll share what I learned at the event. I'll kind of summarize it on the podcast. And then I alternate that with interviewing, you know, interesting guests. couple other, you know, I'll just share my, there's different ways to skin this cat. But for me, I chose a topic for my show. My show is called Achieve Your Goals, or Achieve Your Goals with Hal Elrod, whichever. But I was going to call it The Miracle Morning, because that's my, you know, that's my book, that's my brand. And I thought, well, A, there's only so many different way things you could do in the morning. Like after I interview, you know, 20, 30, 40 people on a morning routine, it's going to be like, right. All right. Got it. Wake up early, do something for you. Yeah, I can't make anything new. So for me, I picked Achieve Your Goals because I could talk about anything I wanted. So that's something for people to consider if they're starting a new podcast and they're wondering what to do it on. Think about, you know, you want to give yourself a little bit of freedom. And there's obviously, you could have a strategy of like, well, you totally niche the podcast, right? But, you know, like for your example, right, podcast, your show being about podcasting, I mean, you could have infinite guests. Like you, to me, that although it's a niche, it's also universal, right?
Sure.
There are so many things you could talk. I mean, you could talk about morning rituals and how that relates to podcasts, right? Or you could talk about, you know, managing your finances at a pod. I mean, whatever. Like there's so many different things that you can talk about. And then I don't mean to go in too much depth here, but one other tip I'll give podcasters, and this is for anybody that's whether you're an author, podcaster, or whatever, create an online community. And I had no idea of what would happen. This was like an 11th hour thing where a buddy of mine said, Hal, do you have anywhere where the Miracle Morning, people that are reading the book, they can meet other people and, you know, network and support each other and share, you know, smoothie recipes or affirmations? Do you have anything set up for that? And I said, no. He said, I'd put something in the book where, you know, you have that. And I said, well, should I create like a website, like a WordPress thing? And he said, if I were you, I would use a Facebook group because people are already there. Don't make them log in somewhere else. Plus, they get notifications when something pops up. And right. Yeah. He goes, you know, trying to duplicate what they've already created with their structure. So I launched the Miracle Morning Community Facebook group in the beginning. And again, I had no, you know, it was like me and 12 other people. And now we have 16,000 people from all around the world. We have like 50 to 100 join every day. And that is my, I think that I have, you know, my email list is, you know, 3 or 4 times that, but I have more engagement and I get more response in my Facebook group than anything else. So that, you know, that's where I would invite anybody that's listening. You know, you can join it either to get support in there or actually to model it. Just look at how engaged people are and kind of the way that it's facilitated to do that.
That's awesome. That's a great piece. And I think that is the big thing with podcasting, is getting people from listening to your podcast to engaging with you and your content and your group online somewhere, whether it's on your website or Facebook group or a Slack channel or a membership site that you close. I think that is a great message, because podcasting is just a content medium to drive people forward and encourage them on their way. And you've done a great job of that.
And let me give one other tip on the actual, like in a Facebook group, you can put a pinned post, right? It's a post that sits at the very top every time. And my, I had a friend that suggested this, brilliant. It's one of the best things we did in there. Use that post wisely. Now, what I use it for is I ask people, I say, hey, I'm trying to see how far the Miracle Morning, you know, movement is kind of spreading. Please list where do you live and where did you hear about the Miracle Morning? And what that gives me is it's a research piece where we have 1,600 members and we have 1,800 comments on that post. So I have a, you know, an average survey that goes out gets like a 0.05. I mean, it's like less than 1% right. response. I've got a like 13% response from my group in there. And I know which of my sources are working for marketing. I know which podcasts are getting right. I can measure that. And I know I can measure where people are at, what percentage are in America, what percentage of my readers are in UK, et cetera. Now, something that you might do, like a new Facebook group I started for moms, says, where do you live and where or how has the Miracle Morning helped you be a better mom? So for you, you could say, how has the, you know, where do you live and where, how has my podcast helped you, or, you know, something like that. But the point is, I now have in that little mommy group that I formed a week ago, we have, I think, 42 people that have answered that question. But so I now have 42 success stories for a future book, which is going to be Miracle Morning Moms, right?
Yeah.
So you now have feedback on your podcast. You can use it as testimonials. So think about that and go into other groups like Brendan Burchard's motivation group. He has a video in his pinned post. You know, look at what other people that run successful Facebook groups are doing in that pinned post. And it's invaluable real estate. And you want to be really intentional when you start your group with that.
That's killer, man. Hal, I really appreciate it. Can you tell folks if they don't know, if the two or three people out there that don't know, how they can find out more about you or your book, can you tell them where to head?
Yeah, if you want to contact me, you can go to halelrod.com, H-A-L-E-L-R-O-D. HalElrod.com, and you know, you can click contact and it'll send me a message. And then if you want to get The Miracle Morning, Amazon's probably the best place to get it. You know, Kindle, audiobook, or paperback, all that's on the Amazon page. And then if you are an iBooks reader, it is, as of, took us a long time, but January of this year, it is now on iBooks as well. So you can, you know, read it wherever you like. And then last but not least, if money is tight for you right now, I've been there before where, you know, my wife and I had an agreement, like, unless it was food, right? We couldn't spend money without, you know, talking, and then it was always a no anyway. But you can go to miraclemorning.com to get the first few chapters free, get a video training for free, get an audio training for free. So, you know, if you want to get started but not wait to buy the book or for it to show up or whatever, miraclemorning.com is the spot to do that. And then I invite everybody to the Facebook group. That's a great place to, you know, to connect with other like-minded people.
Awesome. Awesome. Hal, this has been a great conversation, man. I really appreciate it.
Craig, dude, I cannot thank you enough for giving me the opportunity to talk to your audience, and it was fun to chat podcasting and some other things with you today.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Hal Elrod, author of The Miracle Morning. Guys, go check out Hal's stuff. It's really fantastic. I've read The Miracle Morning. I put it into practice, not every day like I should, but I do it a lot. And 100% when I put it into practice in the morning, I just have a kick-ass day. It's really fantastic, and it's just a great way to get started in the morning. So go check out his stuff. His podcast is fantastic, too. He has some really great guests on there. I'd love to hear what you think about the show today. So head on over to podcastmotor.com/episode8 and drop a comment in the show notes for this episode. I'll be checking it out, and Hal will be there, too. If you have any questions for him, you can post a question there, and he'll be hanging out for a couple weeks after the show goes live. You can ask Hal a question there directly on the show notes for this episode. If you're new to podcasting or want to kickstart the show you already have going, we've put together everything that we've learned from running Podcast Motor and producing a couple hundred episodes a month together in a nice, easy-to-digest email course. Head on over to podcastmotor.com and drop in your email address in the pop-up, and you'll get regular updates over the next couple of weeks with some lessons on how you can either start a show from scratch or improve the one you already have. Some really great lessons that mirror a lot of the things that Hal said today, and I hope you guys enjoy what we put together for you. Okay, we'll see you next time for another episode of Podcastonomics.